A Man's Guide to Cold Weather Dressing. To pay my way through college, I worked as a tower hand for a tower service company in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For 3 years, I spent my weekends climbing thousands of feet into the air to fix antennas, replace cables, and change light bulbs. And that was the easy part. The heights didn't really bother me. What I hated was the cold. You see, we did this year-round to include those Iowa winters when the temperature was freezing on the ground and even colder up there in the air because of the wind chill factor. I mean, it would easily drop to negative 20, sometimes negative 40. Climbing those towers, they were covered with ice, and I learned quickly how to dress for extreme cold weather. Because at the end of the day, the clothing I had to wear and the way I had to layer was thinking like an athlete, because you were climbing, you were exerting yourself, and then you would find that you'd be up on that tower for hours at a time. And so you needed an ability to be able to sweat and wick away moisture. At the same time, you needed also an insulation layer and something to protect you from the wind, because you could be up there, again, for hours on end, tuning in a dish and all these other little things that just required you to stay up there on the tower. To help me with this article, I reached out to a couple friends. I spoke with Carol Davis over at Carol Davis Sportswear, and I spoke with the gentleman over at Northern Outfitters. Both of those companies are great companies if you're looking for gear. Carol Davis, she's over in Arkansas now, and she does great thermal underwear. I talk about her in some of my other, I actually do a number of reviews on her products. And Jim over at Northern Outfitters, they're over in the Carolinas, and they make everything here in the U.S., and they make really, really cold, high-tech gear. They use the cell system, which I talk about briefly, but it's even more, basically, if you're going to be on the Iditarod, this is the company you want to go to. Now let's jump into understanding layering. The key word to cold weather dressing is to layer. Layer basically means what it sounds like, wearing multiple layers of garments, one on top of the next. Several lighter layers will keep you warmer than one very thick layer, because air is trapped between each layer, and it does a better job if you lose one layer or one layer is compromised. You still got those other multiple layers. And there's also the flexibility. If you start to get hot, you can peel off a layer and store it, and then later put it back on whenever you need it. Now, we're going to break layering into three sections. We're going to break it into the base layer, the insulating layer, and the outer protection layer. Now, let me go ahead and jump into each. The base layer. Your cold weather base layer lies against your skin and is primarily meant to be the first layer of insulation, and most importantly, is going to deal with moisture removal. Staying warm and active means occasionally sweating. There are going to be points when you're going to overheat, especially if you're active. But if you're sweating, you do not want all of that to be trapped next to your body, because that sweat needs to go somewhere. Naturally, when you sweat, it evaporates. You want this, whenever you sweat and you've got these layers on, to basically move away from your skin. And this is going to protect you from rapid heat loss. In the case that you were to expose, let's say you were to break that seal and cold air were to rush in, if you've got wet or watery all over the layer of your skin, you're just going to have rapid heat loss, and that is not a good thing. So old-fashioned solutions, they used to rely on loose wool strings, which would absorb some of the moisture and had enough thickness for it to soak towards the outside of the clothing. More modern solutions, they use synthetic fibers in much the same way. So the idea is to have a wicking property that it actually pulls away the moisture and moves it out to another layer, where it can eventually, depending on the level of your activity and the other layers that you have there, maybe even as far as push it all the way out. Now, the process of drawing moisture away from the body is often referred to as wicking, which I just talked about. Athletic and specialty cold weather garments are the best balance between moisture wicking properties and thin, lightweight construction. They add almost no bulk and, if properly fitted, allow extreme flexibility. Now, I didn't talk about it too much in the article, but you do not want to go with 100% cotton right next to the skin. And the reason being is it's going to, not only it will absorb some of the moisture, but it's going to retain it, and it's not going to push it away. So you want to look at, a, if, depends on what your needs are. If you're just going to be out, you can make do with some of the cheaper thermal underwear out there. Again, make sure you're going with something that is not cotton. A lot of these synthetic blends, they've been specially made to do a decent job of wicking it away. But if you're going to be going up to Alaska, you're going to be spending a lot of time outdoors up in Canada, or you're going to be heading over to Siberia, you want to look at specialty made thermal underwear that is a bit more extreme and is going to do a great job. I mean, if you live in those areas, you've probably already found ways around this. But again, if you're just going up there to visit, or you're just paying up there a few weeks for a hunting trip or something like that, you want to look, again, Carol Davis, they make an excellent thermal underwear. I don't mean to promote them too much, but there's a reason why I work with her company and try to help her out. And yeah, if you're in the market for this type of thermal underwear, I highly suggest you go check out Carol Davis thermal underwear. It's good stuff, and there's a reason why I work with her company. I've known her actually. you can see the testimonial. Basically, I used her thermal underwear 10 years ago whenever I was looking for a product to be lightweight and something that I could take in the Marine Corps with me all over the world, because I wasn't in extreme cold situations, but even when the temperature is dropping down to 40 to 30 degrees for a long period of time and you're looking for high speed, low drag gear, I found that her stuff really worked well. Now, your hands and feet need layers as well. So look at liner socks that are key, and these are going to do a great job of doing the exact same thing. Oftentimes, men's feet sweat more than other parts of the body, so you'll want to have the right kind of sock that's going to wick away moisture. In addition, with your hands, now, people don't usually have so much of an issue with their hands sweating, but what they do have is if they need to get in close. And I know when we were up on those towers, oftentimes you were going to be touching very sensitive equipment, and you needed the dexterity of your fingers. So we would have multiple layers of gloves. And I remember we had these very silver, you can find these at a lot of, farmer stores, or let me think, Fleet Farm is a good one. Cabela's, a lot of outdoor stores. They're going to have these gloves that fit very close to the skin. Again, they're not going to be made from cotton. They're going to be made from a synthetic fiber. And these are just going to keep, they're not going to be super warm, but you only need them when your hands are going to be out of your gloves or your mittens for a few minutes, so that you can perform that little bit of very sensitive work and not expose your skin to the environment. Number two, we're jumping now into the insulating layer. So the job of the insulating layer is just like it sounds, to insulate you, to retain heat. So you're like a little oven, and you're constantly making heat. And the job of the insulating layer is to keep as much of that heat in and not let it escape. So natural fibers like goose down and wool, they have excellent insulating properties. Probably because, if you think about it, that's what they were developed by nature for, to insulate, to keep in heat. Now, there are going to be advantages and disadvantages of each of them, and you're going to have to make a decision based off of your needs. So let's go ahead and look quickly at wool. Wool is great because it's pretty much abundant when it comes to winter wear, and there's a reason for it. So it comes in a wide range. Whether you're going to be skiing, you can throw on a simple sweater. If you're going to be just going out and you're going to be going out with friends, but you want to still look good because there are going to be judgments made, you can find a wide range of thick wool, attractive sweaters. You're going to pay a premium versus something that's made from cotton or a synthetic fiber. But this wool sweater is going to last, assuming that you take care of it, protect it from moss and other things like that. And it's going to look great. Now, I talked about these properties of wool, but wool can absorb 30% of its weight in water and not feel wet, and continues to provide a lot of the insulation properties even when water's been thrown on it. And wool isn't limited. Wool is kind of a general catch term because it's not limited to sheep. Although normally it refers to sheep, you can also, cashmere, angora, all of these are oftentimes lumped into wool. At the end of the day, what we're using is animal hair that is protein-based fiber, and it is specifically made and shaped in a way to retain heat, absorb some moisture, and at the end of the day, keep you warm. Now let's talk about, I talk quickly about down. Now down does a great job. If you're going to be mountain climbing, why people love down is it's lighter than wool, and pound per pound actually retains more heat. So you can see those down vests, those down jackets, those parkas, those are amazing in terms of keeping a man warm. The problem with down is if it gets wet, it becomes almost useless. So usually a bird, you may ask, well, how does a duck do it? Well, I don't have the exact, I'm not an ornithologist here, but what I do know is that whenever the down by itself, the way we pack it in jackets, if it gets soaked, it's just going to take a long time to dry out and it mats together and it really loses a lot of its heat retaining properties. But if you're looking for something that's really lightweight and you're just going to be doing hiking up in the mountains and there's really no chance that you are going to fall into a river or something like that, then down is a great option, especially again, if you need freedom of movement and something lightweight. Performance fleece. This is actually a trademark term, but it's widely used these days to describe any artificial fleece garment. It's lightweight and it's a proven insulator. The great thing about performance fleece is compared to the other fabrics or the other types of materials I just talked about, it's going to be less expensive because performance fleece is made by synthetic materials and it's been made in a way, and each company has their own way of doing this, but at the end of the day, it's been made to mimic wool in the sense of being able to retain heat with multiple layers. So it's come a long way. The performance fleece we saw in the 1970s and 80s wasn't that great. The stuff that we're seeing in the last 10 years is amazing and really has, in many ways, almost replaced and made wool a bit more of a luxury and in some industries a bit obsolete just because it doesn't have to deal with that cost factor. Another cool thing about performance fleece is you'll find oftentimes they will sew into it a layer that is going to be wind resistant, and this is great because you don't want to just rely on your outer layer, and we'll get into that being wind resistant, but if you've got a bit of performance fleece that you can throw over, it's got the insulating and the windbreaker in it. That's a winning combination right there. All of this applies to your legs as well, although you're not going to find too many down products for your legs, but you will find thick wool or fleece trousers, and those also come in like an under trouser form. I know whenever I go outdoor running here in Wisconsin, I wear multiple layers on my legs. So I've got a skin tight spandex that I'll wear on my leg. Then I'll have another one which isn't skin tight and more of just helps keep in like a layer of warmer air. And I wear that one over the skin tight spandex. And then over that, I will wear a fleece, which it doesn't really have a windbreaker in it. So I don't really go out in the high wind. That's probably one thing I haven't seen too much of, is a good job with an insulating layer that has a windbreaker, although there are windbreaker pants that you could wear. But when it comes down to a man's legs, more pay attention to your crotch area, keeping that warm with multiple layers. Your legs overall are an extremity, and simply by them being the muscle, your largest muscles in your body, they're going to do a pretty good job and they don't need as much heat protection. They just need more outside protection so you don't get anything like frostbite. Number three, the protective layer. So your outer layer is the shell that keeps all the inner layers protected from the elements. It's usually, but not always, a single layer and doesn't necessarily have to have any insulation. Again, a lot of these layers can overlap, but at the end of the day, the outside protective layer is just that. It's going to protect you from the rain, from the sleet, from the snow, from the wind, from any of those elements getting into and damaging or disrupting the insulation layer and then hopefully never down to your base layer. So the most important thing to remember is that it needs to form a seal. So a base layer is not going to do you a great, or a protective layer is not going to do you a great job if it doesn't seal properly. So make sure that there's a good fit and that it protects all the parts of your body that are going to be exposed. So again, this isn't scuba diving, so you're not going to be going under the water, but it should have a good hood so it protects you from water coming down. It should also have a seal around it, or be able to kind of seal a bit more around the face in case you're in a storm or something in which you're actually having to go face in and you're having to wear a pair of goggles or a full face mask. In addition, around the sleeves, you want to make sure they tighten up a bit so that any type of glove is not going to break off between the, you're not going to basically expose your wrists. Most serious cold weather shells are designed as outdoor gear, so they don't tend to have a lot of fashionable styling. You're going to see them in really bright colors. There is a reason for this, obviously, so you could be spotted in the case you're stranded or you just need to be seen out there. You don't want to blend in unless you're out hunting. And then even in that case, most animals aren't going to, they can actually... Well, that's a whole nother subject. But you're going to see it made from Gore-Tex and similar materials. The price of these is going to vary greatly. And that really depends on what you're looking for. If you're going to be out and you don't need it to wick moisture through it, and you just need it to be waterproof, that's not going to cost as much as a specialty material that is not only water resistant or waterproof, but also is going to wick away moisture. And there is a difference between being water resistant and waterproof. If something is waterproof, then that's to a higher degree. I mean, it truly, water should not be able to get in. It's going to bead on top, and no matter how long you leave it there, that water's not going to penetrate. If it's water resistant, then that means if you throw water on it, it should roll off, but over time, you could have a penetration. Finally, I would like to note that many cultures still make use of skins or natural outer protective layers. Any American visiting Ukraine during the winter will notice, one, that they don't de-ice their sidewalks, so get a pair of yak tracks, and those are pretty cool ice walkers for your feet. And the other thing is that tons of the women, they're wearing these beautiful, beautiful fur jackets, and it's... pretty cool. And all the men are wearing Ushankas. But the point is you have to understand that for millennium, I mean, men have and women have used furs as a means of protection. So you're going to see that in other parts of the world. And it's still a viable alternative unless you've got really a big problem with it, I think, for cold weather dressing. Your unique situational needs. Not all cold weather gear serves the same function. Someone who's going to be dog sledding up in Alaska for a week needs a very different setup from someone who wants to just stay warm as they're walking to and from work up in Boston. So let's talk about the different setups. Cold weather active, running, cross country, skiing, etc. Winter sport enthusiasts need gear that's lightweight as well as insulated and weatherproof. Dedicated joggers may even wind up skipping the outer shell entirely since their body temperature will stay high. They'll be out for a limited amount of time, and breathability is key to comfort. Obviously, this only works for men who can step outside, do their activity, and step immediately back into a warm shelter. Anyone without that luxury needs an outer layer. High-performance outdoor gear makes the best active cold weather gear. I've mentioned it before, companies like REI, they just have awesome gear that's lightweight, it's flexible, and it's really going to probably be worth the investment if you're going to go through one season of cold weather, going out and spending the money and getting the right gear. Wear it again, wear it again, wear it again. And each time you wear it, you're going to knock down the price, you know, in a sense, price per wear, so that all of a sudden, you know, that investment turns out to you're spending maybe a dollar or two every time you're wearing it. Because at the end of the day, synthetic fibers, they're going to provide much lighter weight comfort than heavy wool or down for this particular need. In addition, you're going to be able to find mixtures that are going to do a good job of wicking away that moisture and throwing it right out. A big mistake I see a lot of people when they go out is they don't take care of their extremities as well. So if you're an outdoor runner or jogger, pay attention to your headwear, pay attention to what you're going to have on your hands and your feet as well. It's one of those things that your extremities, this is the area, if any, which you could get frostbite on. So don't be afraid to wear out maybe a little bit more, but just peel it off, carry, you know, a small backpack or have a pocket where you can put it into, or worst case, stash it to the side and just come back and pick up for it as you're running back. Cold weather non-active. Snowmobiling, hunting, etc. Men who are going to be sitting still for a long period need gear that's more focused on trapping warmth and less on letting out moisture and letting the air, a little bit of air in to breathe. Serious cold weather gear for people who are out all day and not exercising hard relies on thick insulating layers in a weatherproof shell. If water isn't a concern, a down layer paired with thinner wool layers and an artificial fiber shell is perfect. More layers are also needed, including on the feet and hands. A couple different thicknesses of socks with a moisture-wicking liner sock and a thick insulated boot will keep the feet warm. Really pay attention to the feet. Again, because if you're going to be sitting for a couple hours in a blind or and it's moist out there, you want to make sure your feet, because your feet are going to be in constant contact with the ground, so you're going to have the cold area of the ground coming up and trying to transfer that, basically try to steal away the heat that is in your feet. So you want to have the right boots on. I can't stress this enough. If you're out hunting, invest in good weather resistant, waterproof, and heat warm boots. Quickly on gloves, if you're out hunting, I know there's a couple companies that make these. Again, I'm going to put in a plug for Carol Davis because I love these mittens that she has, and I've seen some other ones out there that at the end of the day, you can pull them back and you can expose your fingers. And this is really important if you're going to be loading a shotgun or dealing with the delicate parts on any type of a firearm, or if you're out bow hunting and you need just basically to be able to feel the tension in the bow. So these are really nice because you can pull them back right before you shoot and then put them right back on. Gloves are always, in my opinion, outdone by mittens. Mittens are where it's at, because if you think about it, you're keeping your fingers close together and they're able to transfer a bit of heat between each other. Gloves, on the other hand, they separate each of your fingers. They're great when you need to grab onto things, but I always prefer mittens for long-term warmth, especially if you're going to be out, again, hunting, and you're not going to be doing, you're going to be sitting around for most of the time. Cold weather business dress. Most office jobs don't require a man to spend too much time outdoors in the winter. But if you happen to need to look sharp and it's 20 below, what are you going to do? I was actually, I remember during the Orange Revolution, I was in Ukraine, and there was this big, this is back in 2004, and there was a big upheaval going on. And literally, you had all of these speeches, all these politicians, all of these, you know, people coming out, and they were giving outdoor speeches in the middle of winter. I mean, it was cold, and it was very interesting. You got to go back and look at some pictures of this, because there were thousands of people camping out in downtown Kiev, Ukraine. But what struck me is, you know, anytime someone's up there giving a speech, they were dressed really nice. But at the same time, you had sometimes it seemed like a blizzard going. And that was a great example of the times when you just don't expect, but you need to dress nice. You need to dress professional. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, pull, you don't want to get sick. You don't want this to be your last speech. So there are certain things in business dress that you can do. Layering is going to be key. So if you can, there's nothing wrong with wearing a close pair of thermal underwear underneath everything that you have there. In addition, this is why you want your overcoat to have, not to fit too tight, but to always have a little bit of room, because you're going to be sneaking in a few other layers. So look also at a wool vest, so a sweater vest or even a wool sweater underneath. Underneath this sweater or this sweater vest, you're also going to be wearing your usual dress shirt and tie. And so think about it as you're taking what you would normally wear in the summer, but you're going to be adding layers to it. So underneath, you're going to probably be wearing, instead of just your undershirt, you're going to have your undershirt and your thermal underwear. With that, you're also going to have your dress shirt. Then you're going to have perhaps a sweater vest and even a sweater on top, depending on how long you expect to be out there. Then on top of that, that's when you're going to layer your overcoat. Now, you want a good thick overcoat at this point. And with this overcoat, I would go for a full length, one that goes at least a few inches below the knee, not for a three-quarter length. The reason being that extra bit of material is going to do a good job covering your legs, and it's going to prevent wind from blowing up underneath. And since you're not going to be moving around too much, you know, I'm not worried about your base layer needing to be able to, you know, release moisture at this point. You're not going to be out there that long, and you should be in an environment, hopefully, where you can, you know, occasionally excuse yourself if you feel that this is, you're just getting too cold. Now let's talk quickly about the trousers. There are, and if you happen to own a wool flannel suit, this is when you want to wear it. You want to wear something that is made from a thicker worsted wool or is made from just a heavier fabric. And this small difference, it's actually normally going to be about twice as thick as a worsted, as a regular weight worsted wool or lighter weight worsted wool. That's going to make a big difference in terms of how much heat you're going to be able to retain and whether or not the wind, it's going to be able to pierce it less. Consider also little things like wearing two pairs of wool socks. Also, with cold weather business dress, pay attention to your hands. You want to find a pair of well-fitted dress gloves. Preferably, they're going to match the rest of your outfit, so black or a very dark brown, actually, if you've got a navy jacket. But make sure the fit is good, as that's going to make sure you do a better job of retaining heat. Look for something that tightens around the wrist or has an elastic around the wrist. Your scarf. You're going to want to wear a scarf, and this is where a man can inject a bit of color, but at the end of the day, you want it to be warm and functional. So look for a wool or a wool cashmere blend. Make sure it's long enough. There's a wide variety of knots that you could tie, but you're going to want to go for a knot that's going to keep you warm, and at the same time, depending on how you wear the front of your jacket, if you leave a little bit of it open, you want it to be able to tuck in there and keep the front part of your chest warm as well. Now for your headwear, there are a number of hats that you can have out there. I mean, depending on what country you're in and your ethnicity, some of the areas such as the Scandinavian countries or even over in Ukraine and Russia, you're going to see they've got actually hats that they wear over there. For most North Americans, the watch cap is going to be perfectly fine, but realize that the level of dress of the watch cap needs to match what you're wearing. So I prefer watch caps that have a little bit of a thicker weave. They're going to be a little bit more dressy, and they just look nicer than the really sporty ones that you can pick up for $5 at Target. Now, here's a small trick. You can actually get a really close-fitting skin-tight watch cap, and then over that, you can wear an additional watch cap. If you think you're going to be outside for a long period, again, this is kind of the only bad thing about those really lighter weight or those heavier weight knit caps is that sometimes they appear like they're going to let in a bit of air. So that's where I like to wear actually two watch caps. The importance of fit. Fit, I've touched on it, but it's very important in winter wear as you're layering clothing and you need to have some freedom of movement. If you're not paying attention to this and you go for gear that fits bad, it's going to actually affect everything that you put over there, and you're going to find that your ability to move with these multiple layers is restricted. Not necessarily a bad thing if you're just going to be out playing with the kids, but if you're in a work environment, the fact that you can lose freedom of movement could actually become a bit dangerous. Also, if you're in a performance environment, you want the best fit possible. So make sure that everything that you're putting on has higher armholes, fits you well in the crotch, and what that's going to do is ensure that you have freedom of arm movement and freedom of leg movement as well. All right, well, make sure to go visit the article because I go into more detail there, believe it or not, and I talk about specific pieces of gear piece by piece that you might not have considered and that can help you if you're going to be out in a very cold environment. And other than that, this summarizes this section on dressing for cold weather.